Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this August Sunday. Hope you all had some good rain. Did you all?
Yes.
Thanks. Announcements are listed in the back of the second page in the bulletins. Those are the regular announcements that I have. The food bag ministry continues. Please donate in cash or in kind. The books are still available. And our third Thursday luncheon is going to be in September. This week, I don't know if anybody met, but I was not able to join. Next Sunday, August 31st, will be the last Sunday of the month. We had 5 Sundays this month, so it's a long month. And we will have our celebration Sunday next month. We celebrate our blessings of the month, and we will also celebrate that with a lunch after service, and all are invited for the lunch next Sunday. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of this church in various ways by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work God has given us to do in this community faithfully with all the resources that He has given us to do. Please check out our website for various ways you can help donate in cash, bank draft, or credit cards, or many different ways. Please use the opportunities there. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have anything else to add? If not, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please sing with us for these hymns that we selected here today are some of the difficult. It's not difficult. They are not very familiar songs. So please join and help us sing together. If you don't sing, we will just stop. That's it.
Okay, well, don't even start.
So please sing with us, okay, and help us out. And the opening hymn is 155 in the blue book. If you are able, please stand. We will sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 6.
And we'll be singing the musical 154. While they have
154,
the
sorry, 154. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have given us together to worship you. In this church and also online, as your children, we come before you, O God, with grateful hearts, the gift of life that you have given us in this world, and all the blessings that you shower upon us, even when we don't deserve them. We thank you for your protection and care, and for all the gifts that we receive every day. Even when we have been faithful, you have been faithful to us, Lord. Above all, we thank you for your grace and redemption you have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, died, rose from the dead, and who will be coming again, so that we could see and comprehend the riches of your grace expressed in kindness to us through your grace. Loving Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you gave us when you opened the way to eternal life to every race and nation by sending the Holy Spirit to us. Help us, Lord, to worship you as one true God, united in three. And we thank you for the grace that you gave us, Lord, to worship you together. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, eternal and ever living. May the services of word and praise we offer today bring honor and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. We'll do the congregational hymn now. This time we want you to sing and stand and sing.
Yes.
Because we need help from you too. So it's a 363 verses 1, 2 and 5.
Right.
If you don't have glasses, we have spare glasses here. We can give you more. Please stand up. 363.
This is 1, 2, and 5.
1, 2, and 5.
And merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all his creation.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And your faithful ones have loved you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom.
And tell of your power.
To make known to all the people your mighty deeds.
And the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is everlasting is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord upholds all who are falling.
And raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all.
Let us go to God in prayer at this time with our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we will bring our prayers of burdens and concerns and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God's promise is that when we unite in faith and bring our needs to God, He will answer our prayers. So let us unite in faith and lift up our needs to the throne of grace of God. The prayer requests that we continue to pray are listed at the back of the bulletin in those boxes. Please remember these items and these people in your regular prayers every day. Particularly, pray for the people listed here. Wayne is continuing to make progress. Yes. And thanks be to God for the healing that he's receiving. Continue to pray for him. And also for Carol. And I heard that he got some arrangements for her care at home. So that is a good news. Please pray for both of them and keep them in our prayers. Pray for Harry Crumlin, Wayne's cousin or friend. Keep him in our prayers as he's in the hospital. Pray for Sean and Amy Conway, and Jean McBriar and Grace Haynes, Harry Bezor, Carol Clements, and Ed and Bartolo. Those are the people that we have been praying for. Continue to pray for those people and hold them up in your prayers. Pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, the Thomas family and the Johnson family. If not, let us pray. Then, merciful God, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promise that you answer our prayers according to your time and your will. And thank you for the gift of life and gift of family and friends, and church and fellowship and everything that we enjoy in our lives. Thank you for the manifold blessings that you give us every walk of our lives every day. We thank you for keeping us safe every day, O God. It is only because of your grace that we are alive here today. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good things for us, Lord. We seek your presence, and we come before you, become our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. You are the source of true healing because you are the great physician. You are the creator God who can heal us and make us whole. We pray for all of those that we have lifted up here today for healing. We thank you for the progress of healing for Wayne. Continue to strengthen him in his legs so that he can walk without problems, and bless Carol also. Bless them as a family with your peace and healing. We pray for Jean McBriar and Grace and Harry and Carol and Jerry. Also, we pray for Harry Crumlin. Bless them with your healing, Sean and Amy Conway. Bless them with your healing, O God. Above all, we pray for peace in their families and in their hearts also. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, especially the Johnson family and the Thomas family. Bless them with your grace. We pray for world peace at this time. We pray for the world leaders, and they make decisions that they will fear God. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, Lord. Bless them with your grace to lead our nations, that we will be united and have peace in our poor country. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us and give us all the things that we need. We thank you for their services and pray for them and their families. We pray for our church, O God. Thank you for this time that you have given us to be your witnesses here. Help us, Lord, to faithfully use the opportunities that you give us to share your love to this community. We pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors, and the work that they do. We pray for the church at large and the missionaries, all of those who are working around the world to spread your love. Bless them with your grace and strengthen them with the power of your Holy Spirit, that they will be faithful in the work that they do in various parts of the world. Be with us today, O God. Bless us with your presence, especially as we meditate on your word. Empower us with your word and fill us with your spirit, because as we go from this place, that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from the book of Philemon, the whole book. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not be seemed forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Archippus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. And we have been learning or discussing the letters of Paul that he wrote from the prison in Rome to various churches. And this is one letter he wrote to a person. There's only a couple of letters that he wrote to a person. And this is one of them. The other one is a letter to Timothy. All the other letters are to churches. Paul was imprisoned somewhere in 60 to 62 AD for preaching the gospel, and he was imprisoned in Rome because he wanted to be tried as a Roman citizen. So he was taken to Rome, and he was mostly under house arrest. So he had some freedom to have visitors, apparently. That's how he had his friends who visited him there. And he wrote these letters to various churches and sent them through his friends who visited him. And this letter is a very unique letter that has how many chapters?
One.
Just one chapter. So that's why you have to be careful if somebody tells you, did you read Philemon chapter 3 or 2? They're trying to fool you. And if you ever get somebody ask you that, have you ever read the whole book in the Bible? Yes, you did today. The whole book of Philemon. This is one of the shortest letters that Paul wrote. This has 25 verses. There are three books in the New Testament that Philemon, First, Third John, and the letter to Jude, letter of Jude, the apostle Jude wrote. Those are only one chapter each. Eventually, we'll get to those at some point when we go through the Bible. And there's another book in the Old Testament, Obadiah, that has only one chapter. So how many books are total? There are one chapter each, four books, one in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament, right? And this book has 25 verses. We read through the whole book. Thank you, Lisa, for reading that through. It was a long reading. But I wanted to read the whole thing about this letter. It's very, very unique, this letter. Somebody who is in a prison, you do not see that from the spirit of that letter, that you cannot understand what he was going through. So that's why we wanted to read the whole thing. He was talking and sending greetings to a lot of people. Even though he was in prison, his heart was actually with his people outside. It was from imprisonment Paul wrote many of the effective letters. The letter to Philemon, Philippians, and Colossians, and we talked about those books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and letter to Philemon. These are the four prison letters. And Paul reminds all believers that even when you are in prison, that you can be doing ministry. That's what he was doing. Sometimes we find excuses to ministry because we have this situation, we have that situation. We sometimes find ourselves imprisoned, not like Paul in a prison cell, but we might be imprisoned in our own situations, like sicknesses, or immobility for some reason, or some hurts or griefs that are affecting us, that we are bound in a situation that sometimes we feel imprisoned in our own world. Even during those situations, Paul is reminding us through his life situation that you can still be productive and still be ministering to others. So here, a prisoner who is trying to set a slave or another prisoner free, and he's trying to achieve that by sending a letter to Philemon. And I told you the background of this story is that Philemon was a rich businessman in Colossae, the church in Colossae. And Onesimus, his servant, or at that time they called slave, was his servant who was managing his business there. For some reason, apparently he thought it was better for him to steal some money and run away. Sometimes you feel like it when you work for somebody, right? Get everything here and run away from there. Yesterday they arrested somebody in Cumming, stealing $120,000 from this thrift store that he was managing. So anyway, it seems coming. This yesterday happened. It's in the news. And I thought about Onesimus. Sometimes people go crazy, right? And think that, you know, having some money now is better than having a good job. Anyway, he thought it was a good to steal that money and run. And apparently that will create some animosity and anger in the mind of the employer. Apparently, Philemon has every reason to be angry at Onesimus for doing that. So Paul understood the situation. Somehow, Onesimus, some people say that, you know, he ended up in prison with Paul in Rome for doing some other crimes. These criminals never stop doing crimes, right? No matter how much they get, they continue to do the crimes until they get their punishment. That's what some people say. Or some people say that he accidentally met Paul because Paul was preaching to other prisoners, and through other prisoners or somebody, he knew Paul. And Onesimus wanted to learn about Jesus Christ. So he came to Paul somehow, and Paul ministered to him, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And he changed his life around. And Paul wanted to restore him with Philemon. So here we have a ministry that sometimes we don't look outside the ministries of God. We sometimes think that leading somebody to Christ, our ministry stops there. No, we have more to do with the people that we bring to Christ. We have to nurture them. We have to raise them in our faith. That is also part of our ministry. That Paul is doing that even while he is in prison. Not only he brought Onesimus to Christ and changed his life around, he did not stop there. He said, I have another ministry to do to reconcile Philemon with Onesimus. That's also our ministry. Even when we find ourselves in situations like this, sometimes we don't want to get involved in relationship ministries, right? I don't. You know, in family relationships and personal relationships and husband and wife relationships, those are very difficult to handle. But as Christians, we cannot close a blind eye toward those situations in other people's lives. Many times we say, oh, it's not my problem. I don't want to get involved. That is not Christian ministry. Christian ministry is to bring people together. You know, it's very hard. It's difficult. But trusting in God and stepping into situations like that boldly can bring about a world of difference in many people's lives. So Paul changed his perspective of ministry and made his prison cell a pulpit. He changed his prison cell to be a pulpit where he started doing more ministry than that. I was, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in prison. And that's one of the famous books of history that people still read. And many, many people who have been found themselves in situations like this, where William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, was found himself blind. But he did not stop his ministry. He continued his ministry. Fanny Crosby, he was blinded at infancy. But she wrote many of the greatest songs while she was blind, like Blessed Assurance is one of them. So we still that song hundreds of years after that. So even though we find ourselves closed in our situations with whatever kind of imprisonment we have, we can still be useful for God's kingdom, even through even prayer. But getting into the reconciliation ministry is a difficult one. I had to go through several of them, and one of them was very tough. When I was serving the church, previous church that years ago, he was a lay leader of the church, and finally he got cancer, and he was in his hospice care at home. And we visited him almost every week at his home while hospice care. And one day the family was gathered together, and I was there. And he had two sons, and the older son is close by here, and that family takes care of him. He and his wife live in their house, and they had this bed prepared and all of that. He was ready for his death. But one thing was bothering him, because his second son left the family about 30 years ago, and he left in some kind of a grudge with the family, the brother and the father, about some kind of money or some situation like that. So he left that home, never had any communication after that. But the mom kind of kept in touch, and she kind of knew where he was. And she told me, Pastor, can you do anything about this, that we need to let my second son know that the dad is in hospice care in his last days, and nobody wants to call him or let him know. So I said, do I want to get involved? I don't know. So I asked him, you know, do you know where your son is? And they said, he gave me his name. And when I looked him up, he is one of the CEOs of a big company. And he's a busy person. And when I looked him up, his profile, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to call him. Probably I will get it only his secretary. And I don't know, I really did not know how to handle this situation, to tell somebody like that, a big guy who is so busy with his life, and tell him that his dad is dying, and I have no clue, he doesn't know me, and especially with my accent and everything, he said, where is he coming from? You know. So I was put in a very bad situation, and I told them, let me pray about it, I will do what I can do, because I didn't want to disappoint them. And the older brother didn't have anything to do with it. And he didn't want to call him, he didn't want to talk to him, and it was all put on me. So I went home with a big burden on me and did not know what to do. And I had this phone number, and the mom desperately needs somebody to bring some situations like this. I went home and prayed, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't call. I did not have the courage to call. Because I didn't want to embarrass the other son, or I didn't want to surprise him with the sad news. So I waited a couple of days. And then I called back Elita, the mom, and he said, Pastor, thank you for calling. My son called back. I said, I never called. I didn't do anything. But somehow through Facebook or somebody's group or chat, the younger son found out about this. See how God works together? And he called the mom, and finally they decided to come. And he came, and then I was there when he came, and we had a good chat, and we had a good reconciliation, and the dad was very happy before he died. And the thing about that is that taught me something very powerful, that our ministry does not stop leading people to Christ. It is beyond that. There's a whole different world out there that people need reconciliation and relationships built together. If the church and people of God do not do this, who else is going to do it? I know the politicians don't want to get involved. The court system definitely don't like you there. Now, who is going to get involved? The church has a ministry to reconcile people and to bring relationships together with families and people and friends. That is one thing that Paul has taught through this letter, that our relationships are very important. We have to take that as our ministry to bring people together. So he is sending Onesimus to Philemon, and we read that the first letter that tells that Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. He himself calls him as a prisoner. And telling Philemon, hey, listen, I am in prison here, trying to send another guy who is also in prison in his mind, because he is broken from you. And he has this guilt carrying him as a prisoner. And he wants to reconcile and repent, and ask for apology to you. Would you accept him? Many times, even though we find ourselves, we want to repent and ask for forgiveness, we don't do it because we don't know if the other side will accept our apology. Reconciliation is a two-way thing. Even though the one who hurt somebody want to apologize, they are reluctant to do that because they don't know if the other person is going to accept the apology. So it's like a two-edged sword. We have to have somebody in the middle to reconcile this. That is our ministry comes in. That's what Paul says us. Even though here are two people probably ready to reconcile, there's some means of them to reconcile, and I am that person even though I am in a prisoner. I am in chains, but I can send you Onesimus with this letter. And he sent this letter the letter to Colossae, the church in Colossae, along with this letter and Onesimus, and send them to Philemon. And Paul says that about Philemon, to our dear brother and fellow worker, to Appia, our sister, and to the church that meets in your home. Apparently, the church in Colossae was meeting at the home of Philemon. He was a rich guy, a rich businessman. And it says that I thank my God and remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love for people and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. So he is telling Philemon, I know you have a loving heart, you are kind-hearted, and you open your house for your church to meet in your house. You are a nice person. So he's actually encouraging Philemon to take Onesimus before him again and appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chain. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. That's what he's saying in verse 11. That's a play of words there that Paul is doing. Because the word Onesimus means, the meaning of the word, Greek word Onesimus means useful. So when he was with Philemon as his worker, his employee, he was useful to Philemon. But now, as he ran away stealing his money, he's become a useless person as far as Philemon is concerned. So he doesn't have any desire to take him back, probably, or he doesn't want him to take him back. But since he is a new person because of Jesus Christ that he accepted and he wanted to repent, and the scripture tells us that anybody who is in Christ is a new creation. Everything old has gone, new has come. So Paul is telling Philemon, Onesimus is not the same person anymore. He is a Christian now. He accepted Christ. That's why I want you to take him back, not as a servant, but as a brother. So we need to also understand that even though we have people around us who work for us, they are all of our brothers and sisters. We may be employees and employers and bosses and employees, but all that will come together as Christians. We have to consider others as our brothers and sisters, no matter what kind of positions that we hold. So he's saying that even though Onesimus means useful, you may not consider that now anymore, but he is useful now. He may be useless to you, but he is useful now. So he is sending Philemon and this letter, along with the letter to Colossae, back to the church in Colossae. There, he found freedom in Christ, even though he was guilty. He repented, and Onesimus found freedom in Christ. The heart of Paul's plea to Philemon is summed up in this verse. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while is that you might take him back forever. We read that in 15 and 19 verses. So Paul wanted Onesimus to be taken back forever as a servant again. And not only as a servant, but also as a brother. Then he says that if he has done anything wrong, I will pay it back to you. That's what we read that in verse 18. If he has done you anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. That is also another ministry that we need to learn from Paul's ministry. Paul is taking ownership of all the debts that Onesimus caused to Philemon. And he's saying that if he owes you anything, I will pay it back to you. What kind of ministry, what kind of a great blessing that is to have that kind of spirit in us. To pay the debts of somebody else who was a thief, who was a runaway slave. Now Paul is in the middle reconciling these two people and taking and telling them that I will pay all the debts that he caused you. There is also the ministry. Remember, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus taught, the Good Samaritan who actually went and treated the person who was on the side of the street attacked by the robbers, he actually tended him and he took him to an inn and then paid for his expenses. And then he told them, I am going on a journey. If you happen to spend anything more on him, I will pay the rest when I come back. that is also our ministry. It costs not only time, it costs not only our money, but it also costs our personal involvement. That is what costs being a Christian in our ministries. At the heart of Christianity is the doctrine of substitution. That is what Christ did for us. We were all sinners. We could not pay anything back to reconcile with God. But Jesus Christ came and gave himself for us, gave his whole life for us, and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. Even though the gift of salvation is free, there is a big price that God has paid. And that price is the life of Christ himself. He sacrificed his life, paid a big price for you and me. We had an unpayable debt. We could never reconcile to God because of the sin that entangled us. But Christ paid the price for us. We are all debtors to God, in which God reconciled us because of Jesus Christ paying that price for us. The forgiveness and reconciliation are spotlighted in the life of Onesimus and the book of Philemon. Forgiveness is a Christian responsibility. There are three people always involved in this. The debtor, the one who actually owes who is hurt by this, and also the reconciler, the mediator. Just like God, us, and Jesus Christ. Our ministry is also the one who is hurt, one who hurt the others, and the reconciler between them. So we have this ministry that just like God sent Jesus Christ to this world. Christians ought to look beyond the faults of others in order to forgive. So this is what this book is talking about, the ministry of reconciliation and forgiveness. Last week, I don't know, there was a great story on TV that came. A Georgia woman by name Regina Johnson in Cherokee County, it's our next county next door. On August 7, there was a big drama in a courtroom. I don't know if you saw that drama, it was on TV. It was very touching. Regina Johnson, a Cherokee County woman, hugged and forgave a 24-year-old Joseph Tillman, who was convicted for killing her husband. Tillman, a year ago, was under the influence of nitrous oxide when he struck her husband, who was in a truck, a 78-year-old Charles, while he was riding his e-bike on the sidewalk, actually. This guy was under the influence, a young guy, struck him and killed him. So he was taken to prison, he was in prison, and then the trial ended, and he was sentenced for 20 years behind bars. But even in the courtroom, the widow of Charles, who died, wanted to forgive and asked that judge for an opportunity to forgive this young guy. And the judge agreed to that, and it was a big, big dramatic scenario that was shown on TV there. She went over and hugged this 24-year-old man and said, "Well, I forgive you." This happened last week. If you search it, you can still see that video online now. Even though he was convicted and he killed her husband and he was under the influence, nobody would want to forgive such a person. But that changed that young man's life around. And he apologized, and he will still have to serve some time. But the reconciliation already started there. That changed the life of that young man. Just like Onesimus, after reconciliation with the Philemon, after Paul took this opportunity to reconcile both of them, Onesimus became a bishop of one of the churches in Colossae in history. Can you believe that? A runaway slave who had no chance of getting a forgiveness became a bishop later on. That is what Christianity is all about. When you are in Christ, you become a new creation. And God will give that person many, many opportunities for ministry and become productive. Our ministry does not end by leading someone to Christ, but also in nurturing and reconciling people in this world. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place, that we can be not only just ministers, but also reconcilers and bring peace to broken relationships. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 391, O Happy Day That Fixed My Choice, verses 1, 2, and 5. We will sing 1, 2, and 5. If you are able, please stand. Like chained today by guilt or regret or sickness or many other things, but like Paul, we can find purpose in prison and make our prison a pulpit. We are all sinners, need reconciliation before God. Let us also be reconcilers for other peoples who are broken in relationships. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort